Open your Bibles here this morning. Book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3. The title of my message here this morning, The Secret Things of God. The Secret Things of God. Ephesians chapter 3, as we continue our series through the book of Ephesians, we find ourselves in verse 1 here this morning of Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Let's pray here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are a faithful God. And Father, I thank you that you hold our right hand as the saints of God. And Father, you alone are God, and there is no other. We are your people, the sheep of your pasture. And I pray, Lord, that as we feed upon your heavenly manna here this morning, the word of the Lord, you'll guide our hearts here this morning and our thoughts. May you bring glory and honor to yourself. May your Son be glorified. And may the Holy Spirit move in each heart. Lord, you know each one here today. You know our downsittings, you know our uprisings, you know our thoughts afar off. And I pray the Spirit of God would move in hearts and to bring men and women, boys and girls, to the throne of your grace for in time of need. And that, Lord, that you would draw their hearts closer to you in communion and fellowship. So, Lord, bless your word. Help me this morning to honor you, honor your Son. And may your name be high and lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For this reason, I, Paul, he was a missionary to the Gentiles. And there was a test one time a missionary went through, and I want to read his experience and I want to tell you what the interviewer concluded about this missionary. The missionary candidate was requested to come to the office at 3 a.m. one cold morning, and he walked into the office for a scheduled interview with the examiner of a mission board. He waited until 5 a.m. when the examiner arrived. The examiner said, "Let us begin. First, please spell Baker." And the missionary candidate just kind of blinked his eye and said, "Well, B-A-K-E-R, the young man spelled. The examiner said, "Very good. Let's see what you know about mathematics. How much is twice 2 times 2? And the missionary candidate just kind of said, "Sir, the answer is 4. He said, "Very good. You've passed the test." At the board meeting, the examiner spoke highly of the applicant and said, now listen to how his reasoning. "He has all the qualifications of a missionary. Let me explain. First, I tested him on self-denial. I told him to be in my house at 3 a.m. He left the warmth of a house, the warmth of a bed, and came out in the cold without a word of complaint. Second, I tried him out on punctuality. He appeared on time. Thirdly, I examined him on patience. I made him wait 5 hours to see me. Fourth, I tested him on temper. He failed to show any signs of it. He didn't even question my delay. Fifth, I tried his humility. I asked him questions that a small child could answer, and he showed no offense. He meets all the requirements that will make a good missionary." I want you to think about this for a minute. What did we read in verse 1 here? For this reason, I, what's the next word? Paul. Did Paul go through any test? Did he go through any examination, so to speak? I don't know if you think about it. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Any Gentiles here today? Any Gentiles here? Because if you're not the stock of Abraham, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. I want you to think about this a minute. Somebody shared the gospel with you. It could have been your dad. It could have been your mom. It could have been a brother or sister. It could have been a coworker. Could have been a friend, it could have been a relative, it could have been an employer. Whoever shared the gospel with you, somebody had to share with that person, and somebody had to share with that person before that, and that person before that. And did you know, only God knows, but in your spiritual lineage, it may have been because Paul was faithful to the gospel that you're a Christian. Could be. Because he told somebody who 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 told somebody, who told somebody. And down through the thousands of years, if you traced it back, it may be because Paul was faithful to the Gentiles being a missionary. Could be. It could be that you have been blessed because this man was faithful to God. Now, Paul wants these Ephesians, Gentiles, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. Where was Paul right now? He was in a Roman what? Prison for preaching what? The gospel. Now, these Ephesian believers, they may have been thinking like, why is Paul in prison? What happened here to Paul? I'm indebted to Warren Wiersbe for some of his writings here, for some of these thoughts here this morning. But for this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for who? For the Gentiles. He's in prison because of them. And how did this all happen here? And how did Paul get there? Well, look at Galatians. Turn to the book of Galatians. Just one book back. Galatians chapter 1. Paul kind of gives a little bit of his testimony here, what God did in his life. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Paul says, But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for neither I received it from man, nor was taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Who met him on the road to Damascus? Jesus Christ met him. He said, Jesus Christ spoke to me. And that was one of the signs of an apostle. To be an apostle, you had to see the resurrected Christ, which he did. You've heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond what? Measure, and tried to destroy it. He didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. He persecuted, tried to destroy it. He did everything he could to stop it. Some of the saints of God were killed because of him. Some of them were put in prison because of him. Some were beaten, punished because of him. His former conduct. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the tradition of my father. Was he a type A personality? Was he a go-getter? Was he a one that when he had something in mind, he just went all for it? That was Paul. If he was going to serve the God of the Jews, he was going to do it with all of his heart. But look at verse 15. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, he recognized God's hand in his life even before he was brought into the world, called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. When Paul got saved, was that an eye-opening experience for him? That was an eye-opening experience. Because when Jesus said to him, when he said, who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus. And he'd just been killing all the Christians because of Jesus. He probably thought he was done at that point. Wouldn't you say so? Yeah. I am Jesus. And he probably thought, uh-oh, I am done. But do you see what it says here? Called me through his what? Grace. What is grace? Unmerited what? Favor. It means you don't deserve it. You did nothing to get it. God was good to you when you should not have received this goodness. Called me through his grace to reveal his son in me. He got saved. He believed on Christ that I might preach him among who? The Gentiles. He wanted the Ephesians to know this. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem, who were there the apostles went in Arabia. How many years was he in Arabia? 3 years. 3 years he was there. God was working in his life. That's Paul. Turn back over to Ephesians here. That's his testimony. Now, he began to preach Christ. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. That's what he came. he was started to preach, and what did the Jews try to do with him when he started preaching the gospel in Acts? What did the disciples have to do with that basket? What did they do to Paul? They laid it at Damascus with a garrison around the city trying to apprehend him. What did they have to do with that basket? Let it down what? The side of the wall, and he escaped. Paul, he was one that, turn to Acts chapter 9, verse 15 here for a minute. Turn to, just to pick up this thought here. Acts chapter 9. Verse 15, Acts chapter 9, verse 15. Acts 9:15, but the Lord said to him, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before who? The Gentiles, kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, did Paul suffer for his name's sake? Absolutely. What is a good missionary, a good servant of God? I want to read you a list of things. I don't know who wrote this. This is unknown, but I'm going to read what this one person said about missionaries. He said, a missionary needs the wisdom of an owl, the tenacity of a bulldog, the daring of a lion, the patience of a donkey, the versatility of a chameleon, the vision of an eagle, the meekness of a lamb, the tact of a politician, the hide of a rhinoceros, the disposition of an angel, the faithfulness of a prophet, the tenderness of a shepherd, the fervency of an evangelist, the devotion of a mother, the sacrifice of a martyr, and the loyalty of an apostle. What a checklist that is. That's a good missionary. Now, God called him to that in verse 15. Go, for he's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles. Turn back over here, Ephesians. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for who? You Gentiles. He's a prisoner. He's a prisoner now. So what happened to him? And what happened to Paul during this time? Well, in Acts here, Paul, when he was going about, he kept being told, don't go to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Jerusalem for the Passover. And he was told not to go. But he says, why wouldn't I go? Well, turn to Acts 21 here, because he says he was appointed to go. And how did he become a prisoner? Acts 21, 26. Then Paul took the men the next day after he'd been purified. To the Jew he became a Jew, to the Greeks he became a Greek, that he might become all things to all men, that I might win the lost. Under Judaism, he took this vow of purification, entered the temple, and announced the expiration of the days of purification, which was seven. Time of offering should be made for each one of them. Now when the 7 days were almost ended, the Jews from Asia, where Paul had been preaching the gospel, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, men of Israel, help! This is a man who teaches all men everywhere against the people, the law of this place. Furthermore, he's also brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they previously seen Trophimus, an Ephesian, with him in the city, whom they supposed that Paul had brought into the temple. Paul never did that. He didn't do none of those things. And the whole city was disturbed. People ran together, seized Paul, dragged him out of the temple, and immediately the doors were shut. Now, as they were about to seeking to kill him, news came to the commander of the garrison, that was the Antonian towers there. That's where the garrison was, right beside there, where the temple area was. All Jerusalem in uproar. I mean, it took soldiers, centurions, ran down the Romans. They saw a commander in Paul. They stopped beating Paul. Commanders came near and took him, commanded him to be bound with two chains, and asked him who he was, what he had done. The multitude cried. Some cried one thing, another. When he could not ascertain the truth because of turmoil, he commanded him to be taken to barracks. When he reached the stairs, he had to be carried by the soldiers because of violence. I mean, can you picture this? I mean, the soldiers had to lift Paul up like this and carry him toward the steps because they were trying to get at him. Do you think those Jewish people were just a little bit angry with him? And why did they get so angry? Because as soon as, he wanted to speak to the people, look down in verse 21 of chapter 22. And he said to me, depart, for I will send you far from here. This is, he was speaking. We don't have time to get into his address. He got up the steps. He asked, commander, can I speak to the people? He gave him his testimony. He got down to the part, for I will send you far from here to the who? Gentiles. When they heard that, guess what the Jewish people did? They exploded. They listened to him tell this word. They raised their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. He's not fit to live. And they cried and tore off their clothes, threw dust in the air. I mean, the commander's probably thinking, what is going on here? He can't figure this out. Was there any tension between the Jews and the Gentiles? Yes. Was there some tension there? It was huge tension. Because how did the Jewish people see Gentiles? What did they call them? Give me a nice word they called them. D-O-G. Dogs. Do you ever write a sweet note to your wife and use that little word there? It wouldn't go over real good, would it? No. You don't call people that unless you don't like them. Because the Jewish people said, those Gentiles, they're unclean. They're uncircumcised. They don't have the covenant of Abraham. They don't have the scriptures. They're dogs. They're cursed by God. Now, Paul, he's standing there. And you know what the Lord Jesus said to him? That's who I want you to go to what? Preach to. That's who I'm sending you to. What does Ephesians 3:1 say? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, that's why he was arrested that day, because he told them, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to do what God told me to do. Now, we're servants of God here today. What kind of servant are you? If God told you to do something and it was tough, would you still do it? Because all Paul had to do to soften it was just drop that one word, what? Gentile. If he just dropped that word, just kind of pushed that aside, God sent me to preach, and just left it there, there wouldn't have been all this commotion. Are there any faithful Christians here today that what God's called me to do, I'm going to do it with all my heart? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. How about the name Jesus Christ? We can talk about God. God is this, God is that. That's pretty soft language. But bring up the name Jesus and say he's the only way to heaven. Is that going to part some waters? Is that going to part some waters? It sure will. And for us as God's people, Paul wasn't ashamed of what God called him to do. And he's letting these Ephesians know, hey, you know why I'm in prison? Because of you, that God called me to do this, and I'm faithful to him, and I'm a prisoner now. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Why am I in prison? Because God called me to preach the gospel, and I'm going to do this thing. Now, the Jewish people, there was something hidden from them they had no understanding of. It's C-H-U-R-C-H. What is that? The church. Where did the church come from? The Jewish people had no understanding of the church. Now, you can spell C-H and C-H again. And what's in the middle? How do you spell church? What's in the middle? Don't be missing in church, okay? You need to be in church, okay? Now, I want you to think about this because for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you, all that he went through, he was faithful to the calling that God called him to do. For indeed, have you heard of the stewardship, the dispensation, the calling, what God requested me to do? That's the word dispensation. It's a stewardship. I am to manage this. God gave me the gospel to go to the Gentiles. That's what he gave me to do. And guess what? God has given each one of us a stewardship of what God has called us to do. We can all do something for God's kingdom. For Paul, it was preaching the gospel. That was his stewardship. If you are saved, you have a spiritual gift. You have at least one spiritual gift. Something God has given you to do to serve him and follow him. We all have our calling. Paul's calling was to be a missionary, a preacher of the gospel. That was his stewardship, what God wanted him to do. You have heard of the stewardship, dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you. Does that sound pretty personal? He's telling the Ephesians, I'm doing this. Remember Troas? He was the Ephesian. They thought they saw me in the temple in the marketplace, but he wasn't in the temple because Paul knew you don't bring Gentiles into the temple. He knew that. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, or God revealed to me the mystery. Now, I want to talk about that mystery. That's a secret thing. A mystery doesn't mean something that, in the context of here, it doesn't mean something there. It's like eerie or unknowable. A mystery means something that was hid. It's a secret, but God revealed the secret. And what is the secret that God revealed? What is the mystery that God revealed? Well, the gospel. But listen. Yes, it is the gospel. That mystery of Christ, which in other ages not known to the sons of men, has now been revealed by the Spirit and the holy prophets. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the same effective work of his power. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. You got the Jews and the Gentiles coming together in one body in where? The church. And that was the mystery. Nobody ever thought of that before. Do you mean you can have Jews and Gentiles in one body worshiping God together? Absolutely. Because we're a new man in Christ. The old is put away, the new became. We're one in Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, partakers of the promise of Christ. Now, how did it go over when Peter went to, in Acts, went to Cornelius' house? Turn to Acts chapter 10. Acts 10:1, a certain man, Caesarea Cornelius, a centurion, a man had centurion 100. He was in charge of 100 men. A devout man. He feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to all the people, prayed to God always. Good man, but guess what? He wasn't saved yet. He didn't have Christ in his life, but he was God-fearing. He had a reverence for the things of God. He saw a vision, and it was told to him that he needed to go to Joppa and send for Simon, Peter, surnamed Peter, lodging with Simon, a tanner, a house by the sea. He'll tell you what you need to do. We don't have time to get into all these details. Same time God's over here working in Cornelius, Peter's over here. Peter was hungry. He wanted to eat. God gave him a vision here. And the sheet, a great sheet bound at four corners, descended to him, verse 11. And God said to him, Peter, rise up and kill and eat. It's okay to eat meat. God told Peter to eat meat. Okay, just a little side note here. And Peter said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything common unclean. Jewish people had dietary laws. They couldn't eat unclean things. Fish that didn't have scales, like catfish. They were told, don't eat catfish. It doesn't have scales. Certain things they could eat and not eat. And Peter said, I can't eat that. Verse 15, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And this was done three times. Peter heard it once, he heard it twice, heard it three times. You ever felt like that? Does God have to tell you a few times before you get it? And I'm glad he does, because I'm with Peter. I'm glad God gives us the lesson three times. Well, long story short, Peter goes to Cornelius' house. They call him. Peter preaches the gospel. The Spirit comes on. But look at verse 34 of Acts 10. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel first, to the Jew first, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, the Gentile, he is Lord of all, Jews and Gentiles. The word you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea, began in Galilee from the baptism of John, preached how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, with power, went about doing good, healing for all oppressed of the devil. And before you get to the end of chapter 10, the Holy Spirit comes on. And the Jewish people, they were astounded. Verse 45 of Acts 10, and those of the circumcision, the Jewish people who believed, were astonished. Huh! God is saving the Gentiles. They couldn't believe it. And that is the mystery that Paul is preaching about, teaching the Ephesians back over here in Ephesians here, that the Gentiles, verse 6 of Ephesians, they should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. That's what Paul was doing, the church. The church. Now, that is a high calling, what God called him to do. And how did Paul feel about himself? How did he see himself? Now, if you count Hebrews, if Paul wrote Hebrews, he wrote over half the New Testament. Paul was caught up to what? The third heaven. He saw Jesus Christ in person. Would that be pretty impressive? Would that be impressive? But how does he describe himself? Look at verse 8 of Ephesians 3. Now, he's been called, he's a prisoner, he's been faithful, he has the love for God and the love for people. How does he feel about himself? To me, who am less than the least of all the who? Saints. Does that sound like a proud man talking? Does it sound like somebody high and lifted up? You ever met proud people? All they talk about is me, myself, and I. Right? That's who they talk about. But Paul, he was humbled because he knew how much sin God had put behind him and how much sin was forgiven in his life who tried to destroy the church of Christ. And I wonder when Paul went to heaven, I wonder if he sought out Stephen. Because what did Paul do when Stephen was being stoned? He watched, but he also did something else. He held the clothes. Here, guys, give me your stuff. Go get him. I wonder if he went up to Stephen and said, Stephen, I'll let you know something. I'm so sorry for what I did that day. You ever think he had thought about that? Because Stephen was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. You don't think that may have struck his conscience sometimes, thinking about that? But you know, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. Paul said to me, who am less, he didn't say I'm the least of all the saints. He said, I am less than the least. That's like a zero with the edges rubbed off. Does that make sense? Do you know what I'm saying? It's like a zero, but he even took the zero away. He's less than the now. We live in a world that is just totally denying God at every turn. You look at the news, how many people are encouraged after you watch the news? Anybody here? Anybody encouraged? I find myself very discouraged. Why? Because it just seems like it's just sin upon sin upon sin and upon sin. And denying God and turning from righteousness to ungodliness, our world is crumbling around us. But you know what God wants us to do? Look at verse 8. That I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of who? Of Christ. Now, can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that? You know, Paul was called. Was Paul faithful to what he was called to? He was sitting where? In a prison. I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for you Gentiles. All they had to do is drop that word. There's a word called compromise. And there's people who are compromisers. Those are the people that just go with the flow and don't make a wave. Should a football coach, after a game, get his men together, his team, and thank God for their victory? Is that a good thing to do? Do we have coaches in our land that have done that? We have. And if they've lost their job for that, they have. Now, if you knew that if you pray with your team that you might lose your job and you had that fear in your mind, would you do it anyway? Because a compromiser is one that knows what they ought to do, but they don't do it because they're afraid of what might happen. I have a question for you. Was Paul a compromiser in verse 1 of chapter 3? Was he a compromiser? No, because all he had to do was drop that one word, what? Gentile, when he stood there. He said, God sent me to the Gentiles, and they went ballistic. Because Jews and Gentiles didn't get along. You know, we need some men of God, women of God, who aren't going to be compromisers in this world. They're not going to be ashamed of the gospel. They know what they believe. They believe what they believe, and they live it out. Remember when I said earlier, if you were to trace your spiritual heritage back, and only God knows, but what if it went back to the Apostle Paul? Because Paul was faithful, and somebody else 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 was faithful, and it got all the way up to you. But what if somebody was a compromiser along the way and broke that chain? Maybe you might not have heard the gospel. You never know. But what we want to be is God's people, who am at least, to verse 8, to me who am least, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, humility. This grace was given, God's endowment of power and presence, that I should preach, share, teach among the Gentiles, the unbelieving world, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all to see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery is that Jews and Gentiles are one church, that people can come into the church, which from the beginning of the ages was hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church, the body of Christ, to the principalities, powers, and the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. That little phrase in verse 12, with confidence through faith in Him. Now, do you have confidence in God that if you stand strong for Him and you have the faith, do you have confidence He's going to be with you? Do you have that confidence? Because if you have that confidence, that's going to give you what you need not to be ashamed of the gospel. And I tell you this, the spirit of Antichrist is getting more and more whipped up around the world. Do you remember the parables of the tares and the wheat? They both come to what? Maturity. Is evil getting more evil around the world? That's maturing evil. Is the kingdom of God getting, is the gospel going around to the ends of the earth? You can get on your phone and pull down an app and read scripture or have it read to you. It'll read it to you. Can you imagine that? You can go anywhere in the world and have the gospel read to you, the word of God. Isn't that amazing? Is the gospel going around the ends of the earth? Can you see it happening? Tares and the wheat grow together, but then comes what? The judge with a harvest. The harvest is coming. So what do we want to make sure that we're doing? Paul, he was a prisoner. He was faithful to his calling. What has God called you to do? What's God called you to do? Do you have a calling? Can you serve God in your workplace? Can you serve God as being a mother? Can you serve God as being a father, raising righteous children for His glory? Can you be a grandparent that helps your grandchildren know the Lord and follow His ways? Can you, at our men's group, David Jeremiah shared there was a school board somewhere that was going to do something that he was unchristian-like, and he did the amazing thing. He called the school board and the superintendent. Remember that testimony? And it made a difference. Can you pick up the phone and speak out for Christian causes? You know, whatever God calls us to do, in verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access, we can get to God with confidence through faith in Him. Because we don't want to be in verse 13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation, for you, which is your glory. Paul was in prison. He wasn't set on a shelf. God's not bound. The prison epistles came because he was in prison. He had time to write. There's an old saying, the Marines are looking for a few good what? Men. God said, I'm looking for a man to stand in the gap. Can anybody be a champion for God and stand for Him in this dark world? Well, let's pray here this morning. Let's heads bowed and eyes closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Apostle Paul, who was a prisoner of Christ Jesus for the Gentiles. Lord, he was faithful to his calling. And Father, I just pray that we, as your people, be faithful to our calling. And Father, while the church age is here, help us bring men and women, boys and girls to Christ. And Lord, I pray that we would reach out to our neighbors, our co-workers, our friends, our family. And we would not be ashamed of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God. Father, in this moment of prayer, may we search our own hearts. May this week, may we serve you more faithfully, more fruitfully, and more fervently for your great glory. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's one here today that says, Pastor, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I don't know if I was to die today if I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody here this morning, just raise your hand quickly if you'd like me to pray for you this morning. Anybody here needs prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. And I thank you, Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And I thank you that Jesus was buried He died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day for our sins. He was our sin bearer. Thank you for that, Lord. And Father, I pray for the saints of God here that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, but this week, God, like Paul, he was your prisoner for the Gentiles, that God, we would be totally surrendered to you, God. That we'd serve you and honor you and live a life worthy of the name that we're called by. And Father, help us to hear those words when we enter your kingdom. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Lord, this week could be the last week. The rapture could come any time, God. And may we be faithful and fruitful and fervent for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.